Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Bending Reality, How to Make the Impossible, Probable by Victoria Song, is a business and personal development book positioned at the intersection of peak performance, leadership coaching, somatic awareness, and unconventional self-transformation. Song draws on her background as a Yale graduate, Harvard Business School graduate, former venture capitalist, Forbes 30 Under 30 honoree, and advisor to founders and executives. The book presents bending reality as a process through which high performers can change the probability of ambitious outcomes by shifting their internal state, expanding their emotional capacity, and acting from a more aligned form of leadership, rather than offering only productivity tactics or strategic frameworks. Song emphasizes the body, nervous system, emotions, and intuition as practical inputs in decision-making and achievement. Its purpose is to help ambitious readers pursue large goals without relying solely on force, overwork, or external validation, while developing a more expansive relationship to fear, opportunity, and personal fulfillment. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, making ambitious outcomes more probable through internal state mastery. The central idea of bending reality is that extraordinary outcomes are not created only by better plans, stronger discipline, or external advantages. Song argues that high performers often succeed because they operate from internal states that make unusual opportunities, decisions, and collaborations more available. The phrase, make the impossible probable, does not function as a conventional promise that every desire can be guaranteed. Instead, it frames achievement as a probability game in which a person can improve the odds by changing how they perceive reality, respond to uncertainty, and take action. This is why the book focuses less on step-by-step productivity methods and more on the state from which actions arise. In Song's framework, leadership effectiveness depends on the ability to notice when the body and mind are narrowing around fear, scarcity, or control, then shift toward a more open and resourceful orientation. The practical reasoning is that people make different decisions when they feel threatened than when they feel grounded and expansive. A founder, executive, or creator who can remain clear under pressure is more likely to see non-obvious options, maintain strategic patience, and attract support. The book, therefore, treats inner regulation as a performance multiplier rather than a private emotional concern. Secondly, contraction and expansion as the book's core somatic distinction. One of the book's most recognizable concepts is the distinction between contraction and expansion. Song uses these terms to describe embodied states rather than abstract moods. Contraction is associated with fear, rigidity, defensive thinking, and a narrowed sense of possibility. Expansion is associated with openness, safety, creativity, and a greater capacity to act from vision rather than reactivity. The value of this distinction is that it gives readers a concrete diagnostic tool. Instead of asking only whether a thought is rational or whether a goal is realistic, the reader is encouraged to observe the body, breath, emotions, and nervous system. This somatic emphasis separates the book from many mindset titles because it suggests that intellectual reframing is incomplete if the body still feels unsafe. Song's approach implies that unresolved fear or suppressed emotion can distort ambition by making people chase achievement from pressure rather than clarity. By learning to identify contraction, readers can pause before making decisions from panic, comparison, or the need to prove themselves. By cultivating expansion, they may gain access to more flexible thinking and more sustainable energy. The mechanism is not presented as conventional business analysis, but as a body-based approach to leadership performance. Thirdly, integrating achievement with fulfillment rather than treating burnout as inevitable. Bending reality is shaped by Song's concern that conventional success can produce external achievement without internal satisfaction. But the book's biographical framing emphasizes that she reached elite educational and professional milestones, yet still questioned whether success built on strain and validation was. This theme matters because the intended reader is not someone uninterested in achievement, but someone who wants ambitious results without sacrificing emotional health, relationships, or a sense of meaning. Song presents burnout not simply as a time management problem, but as evidence that a person may be operating from contraction, misalignment, or an outdated definition of worth. The book, therefore, challenges a common high-performance assumption that greater results require more pressure, more sacrifice, and more self-control. Its alternative is to examine whether the reader's goals arise from fear or from a genuine zone of genius. This does not remove the need for work, risk, or discipline. Rather, it changes the internal source of effort. When effort comes from alignment, the book suggests, it can feel more energized and less compulsive. This emphasis gives the book a leadership development dimension, because leaders who are calm, fulfilled, and internally coherent are more likely to make sustainable decisions for teams and organizations. Fourthly, using intuition, luck, and the zone of genius is practical leadership inputs. Song gives unusual weight to concepts that many business books treat cautiously, including intuition, luck, energetic alignment, and what the book describes as intelligent downloads. These ideas place bending reality closer to the boundary between leadership coaching and spiritual personal development. However, within the book's framework, they are not presented merely as mystical decoration. They are linked to the claim that people receive better signals when they are regulated, emotionally honest, and not trapped in fear-based interpretation. The book's discussion of making your own luck suggests that luck is not only random chance but also a function of receptivity, relationship patterns, timing, and the ability to act when openings appear. Similarly, the zone of genius points toward work that uses a person's distinctive strengths and natural energy rather than work chosen only for status or approval. For entrepreneurs and executives, this has practical implications. Strategic advantage often depends on sensing early patterns, trusting informed judgment before consensus forms, and positioning oneself where a unique capability meets market opportunity. Song's language is more intuitive than analytical, but the underlying application is recognizable. Better self-awareness can improve pattern recognition, opportunity selection, and the courage to act on non-obvious insight. Lastly, embodied leadership instead of dependence on rules, tips, and tactics. A recurring promise of the book is that readers should not need to memorize endless rules, tips, or tricks once they embody the qualities of a leader who can make ambitious outcomes more probable. This is an important distinction because it positions bending reality against formulaic self-help. Song is less interested in prescribing a universal routine than in helping readers develop a way of being that changes how they handle decisions, conflict, fear, and opportunity. The reasoning is that tactics are context-dependent, while internal capacity travels across contexts. A script for negotiation, a productivity hack, or a networking rule may help in a narrow situation, but a regulated and expansive leader can adapt across many situations. This is also where the book's strengths and limitations meet. Readers open to somatic work, emotional processing, and intuitive language may find the framework unusually integrative. Readers looking for conventional evidence, operational templates, or purely strategic business instruction may find parts of the book less concrete. Its practical contribution lies in asking high achievers to examine the internal conditions behind external behavior. By doing so, it reframes leadership as an embodied practice, rather than only a collection of visible skills. In conclusion, Bending Reality is best suited for ambitious entrepreneurs, founders, executives, creators, coaches, and high performers who are already goal-oriented but want to examine the inner conditions behind their results. Readers who enjoy leadership development, somatic coaching, emotional intelligence, and spiritually inflected personal growth are most likely to benefit from it. The practical value lies in its vocabulary for noticing contraction and expansion, its challenge to achievement-driven burnout, and its emphasis on operating from a zone of genius rather than from fear or external validation. Intellectually, the book is useful as an example of a growing category that blends business performance with nervous system awareness and intuitive decision-making. It stands out from conventional success books because it does not primarily offer habits, productivity systems, negotiation tactics, or market strategy. It also differs from purely spiritual books because it is written for people pursuing demanding real-world outcomes, particularly in entrepreneurial and leadership environments. Its distinctive position is the claim that internal state, bodily awareness, emotional capacity, and aligned action can affect the probability of ambitious outcomes. Readers should approach its metaphysical language with discernment, but those willing to engage its embodied framework may find a practical lens for pursuing achievement with more clarity, energy, and fulfillment. If you would like to support Victoria Song, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.